Welcome back to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers with people who've dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that working with flowers is important because we carry love with us everywhere we go, and flowers are such great messengers of love. So we gather together every Thursday to be here and cheer each other on. Hi, my name's Kelly, and today we are talking with Susanna of Stems Brooklyn. She founded her flower shop in 2013, and like many of us do, she just sold bouquets to start, you know, kind of testing things out. But she has grown into a full-service florist, specializing in workshops, retail, weddings, plants, and New York City deliveries. It's very impressive. Susanna has such great insight regarding business transition. And in this episode, we are talking about what it's like to shift brands multiple times, as well as when it's necessary to diversify revenue streams and how she went about doing it. We're chatting about hiring that very first person and what it looks like to expand and grow and coach a team. She's also sharing how she interacts with her team and navigates conflict with her staff. It's a really insightful episode. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers like you worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and free weekly resources designed to support you in your journey with flowers. So whether you're a professional or you just love flowers, know that there's a place for you here. We all share the common goal of loving the world through flowers, and you can learn more at teamflower.org. Well, welcome to the podcast, Susanna. It's so great to have you here today.
Thanks, Kelly. It's awesome to be here today. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit before we jump into kind of your background with flowers. Where are you right now? What's it look like, sound like, smell like?
That's a great question. And I would say where I am in my business right now is in flux.
And okay.
Yeah, I think a lot has changed over the past couple of years with Stems Brooklyn, and specifically in the past year, we had been a collaborative flower shop slash blank. We were a flower shop slash bar when we opened. We were a flower shop yoga studio for a year, and
okay.
We just moved into our first independent space in September of 2018. So with that independence and freedom has come a lot of changes in the business and how we operate and what inspires us and sort of just how we function as a unit.
That's really interesting. Okay, so I'm going to circle back to some of those things because I'm really curious about a flower shop and a yoga studio. But before we go there, tell us about how you got into flowers. Just a little bit about more about your background.
I got into flowers about a year after I moved to New York City in 2011. I had moved to this cute little neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, and My friend said, hey, you got to go check out this flower shop bar. And I was like, okay. So I wandered down and, you know, started becoming a regular at this bar, and coincidentally just started making friends with some of the florists that worked in the flower shop in the front of the space. So if you can imagine this, it was a vintage style bar, and you had to literally walk through the front atrium was a flower shop. So you walked in and it was immediately a big bar of flowers. There was vintage bottles everywhere, yellow and green tile, linoleum, like hunter green walls. It was very warm and inviting, obviously. And so I was definitely part of that community pretty quickly. And the florist said, I know you're freelance, because at the time I was working in film production. She's like, we need some help for Thanksgiving. Do you want to come in and just like be an extra set of hands and carry some buckets for us in the flower shop? And I was thinking, well, yeah, I would really love to work in this bar behind the bar, because I know bartenders make great money. So Yeah, sure, I'll come into the flower shop. So my first day working in flowers was really just an extra set of hands on a busy holiday. And I totally fell in love. Like the very first moment I picked up a pincushion protea, I'd never seen flowers like that before.
Yeah.
I was just totally, it was like my Hollywood moment of like, this is my passion. I want to do this forever.
I love that. I love that. My Hollywood moment happened in New York City too. It's such a magic place, right?
It really is a magical place. And I had that intention when I moved to New York was to find my passion job. And it ended up not being what I thought it was going to be, which is I wanted to be a camera woman, and I did that and realized, oh, this is a really technical job, and what I really want to do is a creative job. And so as I sort of transitioned out of the production world, I kind of took a risk one summer and I said, I'm just going to work part-time in the flower shop and be a barista at the local cafe that was the next door. Uh-huh. So I had this magical summer of riding my bike to work. I would go work at the cafe one day and I was at the flower shop the next. And it was really just like ideal for my 21-year-old self. I was like, this is great.
Yes. Living your best life. So so fun.
Wonderful.
I love the picture of that. Like, you know, there are different seasons of life and we're not always riding a bicycle to work, you know, what, whatever. But I'm so glad that that happened for you. That's really sweet and such a great memory. Oh, I love that. I can see you going along, pedaling along. Okay. Well, so that was kind of your first touch with flowers. It was sort of this, I guess you could say, collaborative experience between business owners where, you know, some customers were coming in for the bar, some customers coming in the flowers, and some were coming in for both. Is that kind of where the yoga studio chapter came from, that type of idea? Or how did that transpire and what pushed you to go in that direction?
Well, as I was working in the flower shop, I was there at a very serendipitous time. So the bar was operating under the same brand as the flower shop. And there came a turning point in the business where the business owners of the bar were like, we actually don't really want to be running this flower shop. And it was very novel, the whole shop was. It was low volume. It was really meant for bar patrons to like grab a couple stems on their way out. There was no wedding business behind it or delivery system set up. It was really, you know, it was quaint. And I kind of happened to be at the right place at the right time. And mm-hmm. the owner of the bar said to me, you know, we're looking to, you know, transition out the flower shop space, which was 99 square feet, to be clear. It was very small. And he said, we're going to rent out the space and we'll be really happy to pass a resume along. So I sort of said, well, I'm kind of interested. And uh-huh. I was at a crossroads in my own life of, should I go back to college? Because I never really went to college. I went for about a year at community college. And, or should I like move back to North Carolina? Because I really wasn't sure what direction my life was taking at that time. And, you know, within 4 weeks of having a conversation with the bar owner, I was signing a lease for a year-long contract with the bar to open my own brand, my own business name, and operate out of their space.
Okay.
So I did that for 3.5 years, and it slowly evolved from a come in, grab a couple of stems to, okay, let's try deliveries. And then it was, let's create these accessible flower workshops where people can have a beer and make a bouquet, and it's going to be very approachable, and anybody can just come and have fun. So that's sort of how it started. And then a company approached me and they said, hey, we're starting a yoga studio. We'd be interested in collaborating with this at the similar concept where you walk into a flower shop and then you go into the yoga studio. And I said, all right, might as well. Location number two, here we come.
Uh-huh.
And during that transition, the Department of Buildings came in and shut down the bar flower shop. Oh. There, it was overnight. I had a 6-month-old baby at the time, and I'm a single mom, so you can imagine how
shocking,
shocking, traumatic. Ooh. It was a lot.
Okay.
And so there was violations with cross-contamination of employees and a couple of sort of very ambiguous underlying law that where there was conflicts with time that the two businesses were open together, yada yada. So I was sort of in this holding pattern with the bar for gosh, it was probably 2 months of they got back open. They weren't really sure if the flower shop could reopen or not. So at that point, I was getting ready to open up the yoga studio anyway. And I said, you know, I think it's really best that we sort of transition out because there was going to be a lot of stipulations to how the business was going to change anyway and our availability to be open certain hours of the day. And it was just a lot of challenges that were going to be created in an already challenging environment. So,
right. Yes.
So when we transitioned over to the yoga studio, it was a huge transition as well. We moved to a completely new neighborhood. We were serving a new clientele. It switched from sort of a vintage, rustic space that we were collaborating in to a very holistic yoga center that was very aesthetically clean, very like white walls, white painted brick, white floors. Everything was manicured and kind of glossy. So we were like, how do we transition the brand into this space that's unlike what we were working in before, but also maintain our own integrity and our own design aesthetic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So taking that transition was a big one. And during that time, I also hired a wedding manager. I hired a retail manager. It was just so much growth was happening in that year specifically. And then when we transitioned to a new neighborhood, we did move to a neighborhood that was more affluent and people were coming in and spending more money all of a sudden. And we were getting more delivery orders and more wedding inquiries. And it just started kind of blowing up, you know, and it was great. So it was a really interesting year of transitioning into what do we want to be and how do we want to serve our community and like what should our aesthetic look like and who should, you know, who is our ideal client? Yeah. So during that sort of boom in business, I, you know, had a pretty large staff. I started offering health insurance and 401k options. And we were like just becoming this big flower business in New York City. And it was all very exciting. And I thought, okay, this is our time to expand. We need to go to our own space. We were having a lot of operational issues because, again, we were in a storefront that was 150 square feet with an additional 300 square feet studio that was in a basement. So we're up and down the stairs, no daylight, you know, it was very trying. It was very cold in the winter, very warm in the summer. So we decided to take that leap and move into the space that we're in now.
Yeah. I want to talk more about the space that you're in now and your product lines and all those different kinds of things. Before we go there, I just want to say, good job. Like I love listening to the stories of the people that we have on the podcast, because regardless of who's listening or where you might be as a listener in your flower business, everything happens one step at a time. And you can see how, you know, Susanna went from having this kind of smaller stems, pick up, wrap, here you go. And then circumstances that seemed really perhaps dire have actually launched her into the next phase where she was able to grow and begin hiring staff and all those kinds of things and where she is today. So it's certainly a process to start a business, isn't it? And it's hard to know what business model to pick whenever you're first starting out. And I think that you've just given us a really good sample. There's so many different business models that you can go with. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the product lines. But yeah, I think that all of this has been a really, really great story. So thank you for sharing that. Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Online Business Growth Class. If you're feeling overworked and underpaid, if you find yourself sacrificing time with family and friends to support a quickly growing flower business, this class is for you. If left unchecked, business growth can lead to feelings of overwhelm and burnout. But what if I told you there was another way? The topics covered in this comprehensive class will allow you to skip the season of confusion that often accompanies growth and rediscover what a healthy work-life balance looks like. In this class, we'll take a deep dive into your business to pinpoint frustrations, spot opportunities for streamlining, and identify those strengths that will help you transition and launch to the next phase. We'll also walk through new revenue streams, hiring, online advertising, and even give you videos that you can use to train your staff on the basics. If you're ready to learn how to work less and get paid, you can join online at teamflower.org/online. Yeah. So tell us more about where you are right now and the products that you are offering, because I know you've got like your delivery line, the wedding line, consumer workshops, all those kinds of things. Fill us in on your delivery a little bit.
So our expanded offerings, when we moved into our standalone space, we were like, okay, we're moving from, you know, an accumulation of 400 square feet and we're going to triple that in our new space. And so with new overhead, we had to come up with new revenue streams.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it was about refining our design and sort of leveling up in a lot of ways, and this sort of like demand on perfection. And I think that kind of carries through every department that we have. So we have our retail-wise, we have a big, beautiful walk-in store now. We said, you know, we're a flower shop primarily, but we sort of ended up with people coming in asking for plants and we had all this space to fill. So we said, all right, let's bring in the plant. I, during that time, was like, okay, well now I have to learn how to sell plants. I need to learn more about plants. And so I was like, let me read all the books about plants. Let's experiment with what kinds we can sell and what price points we can sell at. And I think with our plants, the number one thing I always come back to with our products is like, can anybody work with this? Is this product accessible? Is it going to last for customers? Is it a project that is going to be you know, maintainable for people. Like, I don't want to sell somebody a plant that they don't know how to take care of.
Right.
I don't want to give somebody a bouquet that is really beautiful, but it didn't last as long as they wanted, or maybe it wasn't the right look that they were going for. And I always want to manage expectations. So that was a big new introduction, was plants for sure. With our delivery options, we expanded to Manhattan, which was a big deal because we'd only been really working in Brooklyn at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really do much more in the space we were in. So we expanded to Manhattan, which was key. We decided to host private workshops. So we have our public workshops, which is a STEM signature. It's a $75 class. You come and you make a full court mason jar arrangement. You drink a glass of wine, you hang out with your gal pals. There's a tutorial, but it's very free form.
Sure.
There's a big buffet of flowers. You can pick out what you like. There's no stem counts or guaranteed color palette. It's sort of like, here's a bunch of different colors. You can choose what you like. And we really want people to feel comfortable and for our workshops to be approachable in that manner. So we thought, all right, well, what we're seeing a lot of are groups of people coming in for friends, or somebody's like, can you do a bachelorette party? I ended up hiring an event coordinator to handle just our workshops. She teaches workshops. She does the private inquiries. We're doing more branded events now. For instance, you know, we did a pop-up shop with Twitter on Valentine's Day, which was a huge success. And that was like kind of our second year doing that. And then we've done Mackenzie Childs branded event where we did a workshop as part of their opening of their flagship store. So it's sort of, how can we help other brands have their customers come in and feel and touch flowers, but also have a more all-encompassing experience? So we started that. I think that the private workshops in our own space was a really great use of space and time too, because now we can have a group of 8 people or 20 people come into our space. They can bring food and snacks and make flowers. And it just really creates a special, memorable experience that's really unique in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of spaces you can go and do a craft that is so personal and have that kind of experience and have the space to do it. It's really challenging. So what else do we... Oh, yeah. And so also with weddings, we have more space now. So we were like, we can get more inventory. We can do bigger jobs. We can take on more jobs, you know. Uh-huh. And that was another big step, was just being able to navigate increased inquiries now. And I think with our new space, it really has bumped up our visibility in New York City as a flower shop. And it's no longer, we're the front of this other business.
Right.
Like, we are STEMs. And with that visibility kind of turned into this next step, which was, well, who are we in the industry? And what do we want to be? And who's our ideal client? You know, so we sort of have backed into that, which I think maybe some people start that way, but that was certainly not my experience. It was sort of like I was in boxes prior to our space now.
Yeah.
Of like, let me work with another brand. And I was very good at that. And then when it came time for us to say, this is who we are and who we want to be, that has been much more challenging for me.
Yeah.
And kind of just coming to a place where we're serving the right community and we're able to flex creatively and we're able to say no. That's another obstacle. So yeah, there's been a lot of challenges, and it's also very exciting because, you know, I see the work that's coming out of our shop and also our studio, and I'm so proud of where we've come from and just seeing the leveling up of design. And A large part of that has to do with Zara too, who's my event manager. And she really has brought and continues to bring such a level of design and perfectionism to STEMs that it's just really like she came in at the right time.
Mm.
And I think that above all else, I don't think I'm the best designer. I never have thought that about myself. But I think that I'm good at managing people, and I'm really good at seeing people's potential and
yes,
finding the right people. And I identify almost more now as an entrepreneur, business owner, than I do even as a designer, even though I can obviously do both things. But I want to build a team that is invincible, that's totally creative and that has autonomy and can like work within a brand, but where they can feel freedom too.
I love that. That's really, really special, because for us to be able, you know, it depends what type of, why you're doing your business, what season of life you're in, all those different kinds of things. But I do think that teamwork aspect, regardless of whether you're doing it, you know, seasonally, at home from your basement or you're doing it year round all the time in New York City. We can't do it alone. And I think that you have set a really great example in how you've hired your team. Tell us, was that scary when you first decided to take that leap, or did it feel kind of natural to you? And maybe if you have any, I don't know, if you have like just a tip for kind of starting that process for hiring.
Oh yeah, I can. Hiring is a very special process for any business owner. I remember the first employee I ever hired. I was about 6 months into business and I was working 7 days a week, open 7 days a week as a flower shop, taking deliveries before, working all day, taking deliveries after, going to the flower market. It was just, it was nuts. I could not have sustained that by myself forever. But I met this gal that came walking into the flower shop one day and she sat down at the bar and she had just been to an interview somewhere. And we just started chatting. And I was like, this girl is awesome. And she was a performer. And I just remember really clicking with her. And I think I messaged her on Facebook like a week later. I found her like a stalker on Facebook. And I was like, hey, do you want a job in a flower shop? And from there on out, it was just instant chemistry. She came on. She was my first real official employee. And I remember having this moment where I was talking to my roommate and I was 6 months in. I just started making enough to like pay myself a little bit. And now I'm going to like give that money to somebody else. Like,
yes.
Why would I do that? You know? And it's like, okay, but if I want to grow, then I have to take this risk. And it's that feeling of uncertainty because you don't know if that investment is going to actually make you more money so that you can then pay yourself again, or if it's not going to work that way. And listen, I started this business when I was 22 years old. I have grown up in it. I have like had to become a mom during this process. And there's nothing quite as scary as like giving your business over to somebody mm-hmm. else mm-hmm. and giving them responsibility and autonomy to make decisions under yes. your business, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so that first hire, the way that that felt, I think it almost feels the same way every time I hire the next person, the next role in the business, whether it was the retail manager or the event manager. There was this little feeling inside of me that was like, okay, it's time. But then for the logic brain to kind of step in and say, oh, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure this is fiscally responsible? And then it's sort of like, no, I just kind of have to do it. And there's always this sort of gut feeling that I kind of follow as a business owner in general. And I think it's the same thing when it comes mm-hmm. time to hire.
Yep.
And it's the same thing when you take any sort of growth step for your business, because in my eyes, hiring means that you're growing. And I think that it's not just the idea of hiring somebody, but it's all of the unknown that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, now I'm going to invest. And then that means we're probably going to get more busy, hopefully, mm-hmm. or delegate out tasks, which is scary. And you don't know what's going to happen with growth. That's kind of the scary part about it. And you hope that it pays off. And you hope that when you hire somebody, it does. And not everybody I've hired has it gone that way. But I remember that my first hire was like that. And we're actually still friends today. She doesn't live in New York City, but she still works in flowers and theater. And, you know, we still are super good friends. So,
yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It is. You've mentioned the word investment several times. And that's something that I just want to circle back to for a minute, because sometimes people will ask me like, well, I'm thinking about hiring somebody to answer my emails or basically mm-hmm. do tasks that feel overwhelming or mundane or, you know, any number of things. But I really think that hiring for a specific revenue stream is really important for seeing a return on that investment. So maybe you get like one of your revenue streams streamlined to a place where you feel comfortable enough to explain it to somebody to be able to pass it off, like you were explaining, like your retail manager. And then you can pass that off to them while you, as the entrepreneur, start developing what that next revenue stream looks like and how can it be streamlined and all of those kinds of things. And then you can hire there. And then, so you can kind of build it out like one revenue stream at a time. You also mentioned that you had somebody who worked specifically for your weddings and things like that. So if you happen to be listening and you're trying to figure out what that looks like, those are a couple of things that I would consider or maybe just think about a little bit more as you're walking down that path. Do you have any further thoughts on that, Susanna?
My further thought on hiring is that each time you want to start a new revenue stream, I think it's vital that you as the owner kind of gets that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm,
it's like a snowball. Like you need to take the snow in your hand and pack it together and right. make a shape and then get it rolling off for somebody else to take over. But you really need to set that foundation yourself.
Yep.
And one thing about hiring I've noticed is that when I first started, I was teaching the workshops and doing the arrangements and taking on some weddings. And there would always be this thought of like, oh, I'll never be able to hire the right person to teach workshops. Like I could hire someone to work in the shop or to help me with the wedding, but I'll never be able to hire a person for this. And I have over time proved myself wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I have not only like, once you kind of get that ball going, you don't only just find a person, but you got to find the right person to develop that. And there's a big part of my personality that does allow to let go. I'm not a control freak. And I think you really have to look at whatever revenue you want to build and think like, you've got to understand that somebody else is going to do it differently than you.
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Yes.
They don't need to do it just like you would do it. And if you want to grow, if that's your intention and where your passion is growth, then you really have to learn to let go. And that's something it's hard. It's hard.
I want to send you like 10 Team Flower medals. Like all of these things are such important points. You do have to let go. And a lot of people would consider themselves to be a perfectionist. And I would say that I fell into that category for a long time in my wedding business. But to grow, you do have to let go. And your role does have to change. And people are going to do things differently, for sure. And that is okay. It really is. And my dad loves building things and I do as well. We've been kind of talking about homes and should we build a home and those kinds of things. And he doesn't like painted brick at all, but I really do. And the other day we just had that talk. I was like, you know what? We're different and that's okay. So that's what I keep saying just in personal life. And also, you know, as we're working as a team, even over here at Team Flower, sometimes Jesse will have one sort of thought about how to do, you know, we have there's six of us total. And so there's so many different ways that we can approach it. And I really did. I told Jesse, you have to leave me out of some of these decisions because I will have an opinion, but I don't need to have an opinion. And it just takes a little bit of time to figure out when are you really needed? When are you not? And those first couple of times that maybe somebody makes a decision that you're like, oh, I would have done that differently. It feels like,
it's really hard.
Really, really hard, but you just have to keep doing it. Like you're walking in the right direction. And those are things to expect. Like they do happen. They will happen. They should happen because diversity is something that also propels us forward, right?
Oh, 100%. And sometimes somebody else has a way of doing it that's better than yours.
Yeah.
And
ding, ding.
When somebody comes in, you're like, oh my gosh, well, you're better at teaching workshops than I ever was. Or like, oh, you have really great insight. And so it becomes a collaboration mm-hmm. too. That's the fun part of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not going to always go the way that you think it's going to go or that you want it to go right in that moment. But you have to be really nice to yourself, number one. Like you can't keep beating yourself up when things like that happen. And you have to really show compassion to your staff because they're people too. Most of the time I have found that even if a staff member makes a choice I wouldn't necessarily make, it's still because their heart was in the right place.
Right.
And they didn't totally screw everything up. Like it's not really that, right? So it's a fine balance of checking your own ego and just having compassion and approaching things from love and keeping that at the forefront of your mind too.
If you're enjoying today's episode of the Team Flower podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful. So hop over there, leave a rating and review, and we'll see you next time on the Team Flower podcast.
I love that. Love is a really important part of what we do in a lot of different ways. And I think that applying that to your team first is a really crucial part of business success, big time. And even the sustainability and longevity of your business. I know it seems like a very perhaps ethereal thing to talk about, but kindness and love towards yourself, towards your employees, it spills out into your community and into the whole wide world. And you can help so many people find out what their Hollywood moment is through love and just letting them be themselves and open up and try new things and uncover new hidden talents and skills and things like that. That's what I love, that aspect of building businesses and getting to know different people. And it's so
it's
good.
About relationships and connection and community. It definitely and what I want for my business, like those are the fundamentals. And that reflects back into how you treat your vendors, how you treat your customers, especially when things go wrong, right? How you treat your staff, how you talk to your landlord. I mean, it's everything, because everyone is going to experience your business differently that's involved with your business. And for myself and for STEMS, I always want people to walk away feeling more connected and to feel like the experience they had was a positive one. And even if we mess up, and I have an assistant manager right now. We had a situation this morning with a customer that didn't have their expectation met. And I always have a little bit of like in the heart kind of feeling, sure. even six years later, it doesn't go away.
Right.
And my employee was like, I'm trying to like not let this, get my whole day down. And she felt so bad. And I said, listen, I was like, we can do everything that we can and we can do our best. And it's not about when we're going to mess up or if we're going to mess up, it's when we're going to mess up, because mistakes happen. We're human. And I said, it's really about how you remedy the mistake. What are you going to do about it? It happened, whatever it was, whether it's our fault or not. I said, we need to be compassionate, listen to the customer, try to see it from their point of view and do the best we can to make it up to them. And if that means you refund somebody sometimes, that's fine. You send them a new flower. It's really not about that. It's about kind of just remedying the situation and the emotion around it too. And we do our best. That's all you can do. Mm. And you can't make everybody happy. I mean, that's a cliche thing to say too, but it's something I have to remind myself of regularly.
Mm. Absolutely. I don't know if, I feel like you would have some insight on this, but if you don't want to go there, we don't have to go there. But I was wondering, just like as a female business owner, conflict strikes, you need to work through something, you need to resolve something perhaps with a supplier, or, you just shared kind of part of an example here with a customer. What would you say is a really important thing if there is something where there is some kind of tension or conflict that's affecting your ability to be able to do the job or to be able to get something done or receive the product that you need? How would you recommend if somebody feels like they're in that place, one of maybe a key relationship person in their business, how would they go about, maybe bringing that up and talking through it and navigating that a little bit?
Conflict resolution is, it really is contingent on the relationship dynamic, I think, on how you present and how you bring it up, but you have to bring it up. I have learned over the years that by not speaking up and saying something, you're just doing yourself a disservice. You can continue bringing negative energy to something, and the other person could have no idea there's something going on. It's kind of funny what we can create in our heads, and I've done it with employees, and I've done it with vendors, and I've done it with interns, where maybe I felt uncomfortable in my own business. I have felt that way, and that's mm-hmm. a crazy thing to say, but I have been in times in my business where I've walked in and felt, I don't feel at home here.
With you.
And it was because of a damaged relationship. Maybe it was something that had happened and I didn't have control over it, or maybe something that I did, but I see it early now, and I really do my best to sit the person down and say, listen, I'm feeling uncomfortable with this thing, and present it to them just person to person. You really have to be human about it. Mm-hmm. If you sit down and I'm going to iron fist this conversation, it doesn't go well.
Right.
It won't go your way. I don't know if being female has
anything to do with that, or if it's a demanding respect layer or not. But I have found that the more I can be vulnerable around conflict and the more open and honest I can be and speak from the heart, the better it goes.
Yes.
For everybody involved. Mm. And then 9 times out of 10, the other person goes, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said something because I have felt, and they sort of opens the door to fix and resolve what was going on, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really like I have let things go so far that I have had to let people go because of it. Mm. Because it had built to a place where there wasn't resolve and I had tried to remedy and it didn't go well because it also requires that both people are honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And you can be honest with yourself. The other person can try, but it really takes two people.
It does, yep. Mm-hmm.
To do that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why not every relationship lasts forever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that goes into all spans of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You touched on some really good key points. Address it early. I feel like so many different things are just really rooted in misunderstanding. So just, hey, I think you said this. Is that what you actually said, or is that what I heard? You know, kind mm-hmm. of thing, right? And then be open in the conflict. It is really you can't resolve a conflict if there's not openness towards talking about it. Like it's
impossible.
Next to impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I had to do some really, really hard boss stuff this past fall when we transitioned to our new space. We moved to a neighborhood that didn't have as much walk-through traffic. Our revenue started to decrease quickly because mm-hmm. we moved so to a completely new area. And I was staffed up and everybody was so excited about our new space and what we were creating and all this. There was so much energy behind the move. And when we moved, we were all kind of sitting around like twiddling our thumbs being like, okay, now what do we do? And I'm speaking more so for our retail business, not as much. Our events and weddings have always been very consistent. But I had to like fire people. It got down to the place where I was looking at the bank account going, our overhead has doubled. I have the same amount of staff and I've got less revenue coming in. And just the realization of, you know, it was my fault this happened and I should have known better. I should have been able to protect my staff, to protect the business better. And it was a lot of really heavy, just kind of shame about it. And when I sat my retail staff down at the time, I had six of them. And I had to say, here's a big poster board. I wrote out our revenue that we were making at the time during the day. And I started chopping it down and I showed them every single expense we paid for. And I said, see this negative number at the bottom? I said, this is what's going on right now. Mm. And I'm self-funded. I didn't have anybody to call on to like throw some money into the pot, yep. you know? Yep. Like, mm-hmm. And so when I had to sit down with a couple of them and I said, I can't keep you on staff. And people who have been with me for a year, people who've been with me for longer than that, it was that moment of just say, well, we're having cutbacks and be very sterile about it. And, or I can sit them down and just tell them what I know, be as open and honest as possible about what was happening in the business. And I think that that's why a lot of them were able to kind of stay on in a part-time way or maybe just freelance, but they're still involved in the business in some capacity,
sure.
which was great. You really have to approach it that way. And the responses I had, you know, while firing people was the best it could have been, I have to say, looking back on it. And I think a large part of that was due to like the vulnerability that mm-hmm. I was willing to show mm-hmm. and to kind of approach it from a heart place instead of saying, I can't handle this personally, so I'm just going to have to just let people go very quickly and not explain what's going on. And mm-hmm. I didn't have to explain it to anybody, but I chose to do that because that's, you know, that's how I want to be represented and that's how I would want to be fired. Like, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those things whenever you do make a shift or a change, like you didn't know like how much the foot traffic would change or what those kinds of things. Cause some people could argue, oh, well, was it the right decision? Or you could even yourself be like, oh, was it the right decision? Cause it didn't feel good in the moment. Uh-uh. But I think that in moments like that, like you figured out how to move forward in the best way possible. And that is a beautiful victory in and of itself. I really just admire that about you, and that you're killing it. You're heading along. And that's the important thing. Like you did not quit, because there is always a workaround somewhere in some way. And I believe that things are going to just increase for you as you move forward. And no doubt you'll be able to bring them back, or even more so than that, I think. So there's so much potential out there. There's so many people who aren't being serviced, like flowers aren't even accessible to them yet.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We just, as an industry, I feel like there's so much potential, but sometimes we try to do the same thing that's been done over and over again. And so we still keep serving it at that same kind of place. But like, where are those places? Where are those pockets where someone hasn't been introduced to flowers yet? There's so many creative ways to have a business model. And I've really enjoyed hearing about yours today. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story. Before we sign off, I'll just pass the mic over to you. If there's anything else you might like to say to our listeners, please feel free, and also let us know how to connect with you off the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me on Team Flower, Kelly. And I just want to say that tenacity is something that is a big part of being in the floral industry in general. And, you know, keep going. It gets hard, but if you can get a mentor or a comrade in arms who is maybe going through some of the same struggles you are, even if they're not in the floral industry, like, that has been a huge help for me. And feel free to reach out to me. I love talking about business. I love being a cheerleader. I love supporting everyone as much as possible in the floral industry. You can find us on Instagram at Stems Brooklyn. And then we also have an event page called Stems Brooklyn Weddings. You can also reach out via email at hello@stemsbrooklyn.com. And you can come visit us. We're at 96 Knickerbocker in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Oh, perfect. Thanks again so much, Susanna, for being here, and for all of you who are out there listening. Susanna and I are cheering you on today, and we are thankful for the way that you are loving the world through flowers. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
As we sign off today, I want to remind you that your work with flowers matters. It's about more than the blooms. You're loving the world. You make magic happen. You're creating memories. You're following a dream. Delivering light and grace. Here at Team Flower, we're cheering you on, one bloom at a time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And until next time, remember that we're so thankful for each bucket that you wash and each bag of garbage that you take out of your studio that makes all of this possible. If you're looking for more floral education that's free, conversation, or inspiration, just visit teamflower.org/free to see the library of helpful videos and articles for florists, growers, and flower business owners. You'll find helpful tips on everything from creating flower walls to hiring freelancers and much, much more.